Today, we're picking up week two of a series for January. As we kick off 2020, we're calling Fan or Follower. And it's a series that's really designed to help us understand how to love God with our whole life. Last week, we started, in fact, if you've pulled your message notes out, you'll notice the first passage of scripture that's on your notes from Mark chapter 12. I'm going to ask you to read this aloud with me, will you? This is what we call the great commandment that Jesus taught. Let's read it together. The most important command is this. Listen, people of Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And we're talking this month about loving God with our alls. And he says, I want your mind fully engaged. I want your hearts to be stirred in your love for me. I want your souls to be enriched and deepened in your love for me. I want your strength constantly renewed as you live for me. And today, what we're looking at are some of the practices that help us to do that, to be a real follower, not just a fan. And when I use the word follower, I'm not talking about follower like we talk about with social media today, okay? Where, you know, we follow somebody on Facebook or Instagram, we think we know them, you know. Basically, we're just doing online stalking is what's happening. But I'm talking about that we really know God and we love him and we're following him. And so today I want to talk to you the important discipline of taking in the whole word into our lives. And there's no question that Jesus said, one of the things that'll mark you out as a true follower, not just a fan, is your relationship, he said, to my word. John 8, 30, 32, he says this. He was saying these things and many believed in him. You know, they were at least fans. And then he said to the Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples and you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Now, one of the things Jesus says that really makes you a true follower is that his word has a place in our life. And I want to talk to you this year about how you, this year, for 2020, you get the whole word into your life over this whole year. I want to challenge you to become a person who truly gets into the scriptures, the whole scriptures, to get them into your life. Now, it's interesting that 9 out of 10 Americans, Gallup tells us, own a Bible. But only about 1 in 5 Americans, according to Gallup, say that they've read it through all the way through. And personally, I think probably half of them are lying. They just like to sound good when they take a poll. The reality is this is a book that we revere, but we don't read much. And at North Point, we want to change that. And I want to talk to you today about how we get into this book, and not just get into it, but we get it into us. And so there's a passage of scripture here on your notes from James chapter 1. I want this to be the basis for really what I want to talk with you about this morning. And I love how James puts this. He says that God chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Now notice, he says his word, the word of truth, is something living. It transforms and changes us. It gives us new birth, he says. And he did that we might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. In other words, God's word brings about fruit in our life. We become like the first fruits a farmer looks for of a crop, a harvest of what he's wanting to bring into people's lives. Therefore, James goes on to say, notice, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And humbly accept the word planted in you. Now, there's the idea again. This is a living word. It's planted in you like a seed that can be planted, and it's going to produce results. And that word planted in you, if you'll receive it humbly, it can save you. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. I love that phrase. This is a book that has a perfection to it, that as we allow it to get into our lives, it's going to give us freedom. the perfect law that gives freedom, and continues to do this, to continue to look intently into it, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. Now, here's some things, some tips I want to give you on getting into the Bible this year and using 2020 to get into the Bible. Number one, just get a plan. Get a plan. Now, you're familiar with this statement, are you not? If you fail to plan, you what? You fail to plan. You're familiar with that. And so, you know, most people who say, well, I really want to get in shape this year. Yeah, what's your plan to do it? I really want to improve my finances. Okay, how are you going to do it? And when it comes to, okay, I really want to get God's word in my life. Okay, what's your plan? What's your plan to be able to do it? What translation are you going to read in? What portions are you going to read? Because honestly, there are some of you who are here that if you're totally unfamiliar with the Bible, I would encourage you to not try to read through the whole Bible this year. I think that you're going to get bogged down. But I would say for you, it might be great to have you read through the whole New Testament and to read through the New Testament. But there are others of you, you are so familiar with the Bible, but you have never gone all the way through. I want to challenge you. Make this year, you've been saying, someday I'll do that. And you've been stranded on someday I'll for too long. It's time to do it. Get a plan. Now, if you'll notice here, there's a footnote or a note here on your notes that says visit northpoint.org/Bible. If you'll go to this on our website, there's some PDF files right there of some plans that'll help you to read through the Bible. One of my favorites is the chronological Bible that I do just about every year. For me, I started walking with Jesus Christ in 1970, and one of the first habits that I began was daily reading through the New Testament. And I remember saying, you know, Lord, I've gone to church and I've heard stories about you. I've never read this book for myself. This year, I want to read. Somebody had given me a paperback New Testament called Good News for Modern Man. I said, Lord, before this year's over, I want to read through this whole New Testament. And I thought that was a big deal. You know, it's interesting. If I were to stand and start reading the Bible right now, I could stand and read it to you, and I'd do it in 71 hours. It didn't take that long. The New Testament takes 18 and a half hours to read through. And if you'll read three chapters of the Bible, about three and a half chapters of the Bible every day, you'll get through the Bible in a year. And I started doing that in 1974. A friend of mine read through the whole Bible, and I said, wow, you got through the whole Bible. Man, I've been through the New Testament over and over and over, but you know, I've never read through the whole Bible, and I want to take that on. And since 1974, I do that every year. There have been an exception, maybe a handful of years, that I wanted to focus intently on some books and study them instead. But this is a habit you can do. I'm a slow reader. And I know you can do this. You just read a chapter of the New Testament every day. You'll get through in about 8 months. And so what I want to say is get a plan, and they're available right there. Now, I don't even encourage you to read the New Testament straight through Matthew all the way to Revelation. You're going to get bored after about 30 days. And so there's a plan that I've laid out, and you can download it at this site and get it. And there's other, we don't have a corner on this stuff. You see those others, uversion.com. That's a great spot where you can get reading plans. I did one off of there with my son a couple of years ago with Kyle. TheBibleProject.com has got some great videos and a great reading plan. StreetLightsBible.com. Here's a site where you can hear the Bible read to you in a dramatic kind of a fashion. And some of you could get through the Bible this year just listening to the Bible when you're doing workouts at the gym. Or when you're commuting in your car back and forth from work. So what I want to say is get a plan. And then number two, get a time and place set that you're going to do this. Now, I want to say you're never going to find time to read the Bible. You've got to make time for that. And so what you want to do is set a time and place that you say, you know what, God, I want to sit down with your word and I want to meet you and I'm going to do it in that place. Now, I don't know how it's going to work for you. I say a time and places because, frankly, over the course of a year, I find it helpful for me to just not get in a rut. I like to sometimes read outside in the months where it's warmer and not sit in the same spot every morning. So what I'm saying is find a place. And I realize that there are some of you who are challenged with this because of your schedule or because you've got little, you know, rug rats at home and they're getting up so early in the morning and you know, you're finding it difficult to get that time. But here's what I want to say, friend. God wants you to do this far more than you do. And if you'll ask him, Lord, how can I fit this into my schedule? He'll open your eyes to see a way that you can. And you can do it. For some of you may need to do it in the evening. But I'm just saying, make time to get in the Bible. And then get a buddy. That's the third thing that I'd say. You know, that's such a helpful thing. People who want to work out, you've learned this, have you not? If you'll get some buddies, some other people to work out with you, now there's an accountability factor there, is there not? And it just makes it easy. You keep encouraging each other, and you don't want to miss because you know your buddy is doing. In fact, it's interesting. There was a study done at the Dominican University of California up in Marin County, and they were studying projects that require goal setting and how people found success in being able to do those. And what they found was that 70% of those participants who made weekly updates to a friend were more successful in reaching their goals. And so there's something about connecting with others to say, hey, let's do this together. And even share, you know, here's what I'm learning. And then fourth thing I'd say is just get on with it. Do it. Some people keep aiming and aiming and aiming and aiming to do something. And I'm saying, pull the trigger already. James says, get this in your life and do it. Get on with it. Get her done. And don't let discouragement derail you. Some of you are already saying, well, you know, we're already 12 days into the year. And I'll do it next year. What a joke. By the way, you go on to YouVersion and you can start a plan. It doesn't matter what day you start in the year. And you just stay with it and it'll lay it out for you. But don't use those kind of mealy mouth type of excuses. Stay with it. Celebrate the milestones that you get. You've been reading for 30 days, go out and have a milkshake to celebrate, you know, or you stay with it for 90 days, go out and have a banana split, you know. I mean, celebrate the fact that you're doing it, but just get on with it. You got the point? You get it? All right. Now, here's what I want to do. In the time we have left, I want to click off with you seven reasons. You know, the Bible says seven is the number of perfection. I want to give you seven reasons that having a personal daily briefing with God is valuable. Now, I call it a personal daily briefing, and I get this because there is something called a presidential daily briefing. In fact, here's a picture of from George Bush's presidential library of the folder that every day the president is presented what's called a presidential daily briefing, a PDF. And it's got all kinds of security issues that are coming up and major world events that are happening and so forth. And if he doesn't read it, there are people who are sitting here who tell him what is there because they're saying, Mr. President, at the beginning of the day, here's the things that you want to keep in mind. Well, you know what? The God of the universe wants to do the same thing with you. He wants to give you a personal daily briefing. And here are the benefits that come from that. Number one, it offers me a time out for a tune-up. Now, honestly, our lives are so manic today. We're moving in so many different directions. But I want to tell you that it's always valuable to take a time out to just tune up your heart, tune up your spirit, your mind, your soul, Jesus said, your heart, your strength. And I was talking to my son Kyle about this, and I said, you know, Kyle, I like to do this in the morning because it's much better to tune your guitar before you play it than to tune it up at the end of the day after you've played it. And so that's the benefit. And Isaiah 50 verse 4 is a verse that spoke to me years ago. It's a prophetic word about Jesus of Nazareth and describes how he would live his life. And it spoke so personally, it became a life verse for me. Look what it says. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. Wasn't that true of Jesus? He could just say just the right word to people to encourage them. He awakens me morning by morning, and he awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. See, here's the second thing, if you'll write this down. It reminds me who's worth following. Now, this is so important because the question we always need to be asking is, you know, who's really in charge of stuff? Whose voice is really going to be the most authoritative voice in my life? C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, the moment you wake up each morning, all of your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back and listening to that other voice. And this is so true. This is why Psalm 46:10 says, it's such a great verse. Let's read this one aloud. Let's read it together. Here we go. Be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. See, God says, I want you to understand who it is that's really in charge. And it's so easy in the moving and shaking and all the stuff that's going on just to forget that. And this personal daily briefing just helps remind me who it is that I'm really following. See, friends, the Word of God points you to the God of the Word. And it's designed to help you really know Him. That's why Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5 says this, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. See, the reality is, we just need to remember whose instruction it is we really need. Do you remember a lady named Ann Landers? She's passed away now, but she had a newspaper column. They're still repeated today because people would write in for advice. And I got a kick some years ago. I came across this. Somebody had written Ann Landers a letter, and here's what they wrote. Dear Ann, I've been sleeping with three women for several months, and until a few days ago, none of them knew that the others existed, and things were going fine. What an arrogant, I won't finish that phrase. things were going fine. But by chance, two of them met each other, compared notes, and found me out. Now they're furious with me. What am I going to do? P.S. Please don't give me any of your moral junk. Signed, Trapped. And I love how Anne answered it. She said, the one major thing that separates the human race from animals is a God-given sense of morality. Since you don't appear to have one, I strongly suggest you consult a veterinarian. How great is that? You know, Jesus said, some people, they're stumbling around in the dark. And I don't even know why, but he says, I'm the light of the world. And you know what? If you'll follow me, you don't have to stumble around in the dark. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth and it'll set you free. And this verse from Psalm 25 just reminds me of the true story about a guy was driving along and he came to a road and he knew this road quite well, but he saw this sign that was up that said, warning, road closed 1.5 miles ahead. Take alternate route here, and there was an arrow pointing toward a detour. Well, he said, I know this road, you know. So he went on down, and sure enough, 1.5 miles down, this little bridge that went over a small creek had collapsed, and it was an impassable kind of situation. He turned around and drove back. When he got back to the sign that warned about that, somebody had written on the back of it, welcome back to the right road, stupid. I want to say to some of you here this morning, God wants to get you on a better path. It reminds me who's worth following. See, it stabilizes me. Here's the third thing, and what's really true. It stabilizes me, and what's really true. Now, in our days, this phrase, fake news, you know what I mean by that now, fake news. And I actually heard somebody say, what I'm trying to give you here is true truth. And I wanted to laugh. But you know, that's nothing new. That's always been that way. Human beings, because of our sinfulness, have always had truth decay in their lives. And one of the things that God wants to do is he wants to help us to see through the deceptions and to see what is really, really true. One of the things you see the Bible does is it gives us something called a worldview. And a worldview is where we begin to understand the nature and structure of reality itself so that we know how to discern what's right and what's wrong, what is true and what's false, what's valuable and what isn't valuable in my life. This is all part of a worldview. And the Bible scholar Karl Barth once described it this way. He said, you know, what the Bible does is you're reading it. It's almost like peering out your window and you notice a group of people on the sidewalk and they're looking up into the sky at something you can't see. They're shielding their eyes to see it even better. And it invites you to come out and join them on the sidewalk to see for yourself what it is they're looking at. Now that's what happens as we read the Bible. As we read the Bible, we discover people who have discovered the true and living God in their lives. And they've discovered the difference it makes to know him and to discern life according to who he is. Now, I just want to warn you here. I understand that sometimes people start reading the Bible and you don't get very far into the book of Genesis till you start seeing things that frankly are way out of sync with what we think and how we act and, you know, how we do life today. In fact, I remember talking to a guy and he said, you know, to be honest, the Bible offends me. I have problems with it. And you're telling me I ought to read it every day, and I've got in it and tried to read it. I found it so brutal and violent. And there were all these primitive ideas. I didn't see the value in going on with it. And what I wanted to say to him is, well, yeah, you're right, because you need to understand. See, this is a book that was written, parts of it go back as far as maybe 3,000 years ago or farther. And life was very different back then. But you see, what you need to get is that God started with those people where they are, just like he'll start with you where you are. And he began developing and working with them to help them become better. And that's why by the time you get into the New Testament, God's made progress with these people to help them to see him in newer and deeper ways. But God wants you to learn something from what happened with them. And by the way, you know, I was talking to an individual recently who gave me that. Yeah, you know, the Bible's filled with all this brutality and violence and, you know. And I asked him, yeah, what do you watch on Netflix at night? In fact, I asked him, by any chance, have you ever seen Quentin Tarantino's movie, The Hateful Eight? Oh, yeah, it's a great movie. You're a hypocrite. I started watching that movie one night, and it was like, whoa, man, you talk about brutal and bloody. And then I kept thinking, okay, well, I've invested 45 minutes, and surely this is going to redeem itself. And I went another hour, and it was like, oh, man, my mind is being scarred, but I got to see how this, at least they're going to resolve this thing. I'm telling you, down to the last second, that was the most unredeemable movie I have ever seen in my whole life. I'm embarrassed that I even watched it. It hurt my head in some ways. I can't even watch Samuel L. Jackson anymore because of some of the things he did in that movie. Now, I want to tell you what. This book will show you things like that that are offensive, but it redeems them because it redeems the people. Can you give me a quick example of what I'm talking about here? You know, you get into the Bible not very far and you start finding men who have more than one wife. Now, I have never for the life of me figured out why that would be desirable. And I hope I don't get in trouble for this because my wife is sitting right over here. But I just want to say to you, it is hard enough work to just understand one woman and her needs and understand how it is God wants me to relate to this incredible person and watch how he's going to transform me through her. Why in the world would I want to try to do that with two or three at the same time, for crying out loud? I mean, that's just guys wanting more sex with more partners. Here's the interesting thing. The Bible contains that. You're never going to find ever an example of that in the Bible that it's not put in negative light. And God is faithful to show you why this didn't work then, and this isn't going to work for you now. You see what I'm talking about? Now, by the way, this is why here at North Point, we encourage you to get into classes because, friends, listen, you want to humbly, James says, receive this word in your life. This is a book that's been around for 3,000 years. And there's some stuff that you don't know about it. And so things like our women's Bible study, you heard Mike talking about this, and our men's study just on Tuesday night that look into these books. And we have other groups that are going on that do this. They help us to begin to look at, okay, we're stepping back into a time in the past, but what are the truths here for our lives today that are powerful? In fact, I'm so excited this year. We're starting something here called the North Point Bible Institute. In fact, you can go to the website, northpoint.org/NBI. And there you're going to find a vision video for about 40 minutes where I'm explaining what this is about, how it's going to be laid out. But I just look forward to taking so that you know how to wade through this book because there is a lot here. But God says, humbly accept this into your life and watch what will happen. Number four, see, it addresses my soul's deepest needs and concerns. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled, but you need to believe and you need to trust me. And the Bible helps us to be able to do that. And that's why Jesus in Matthew 4:4, this is such a great verse. Can we read this one aloud together? Let's read it. Jesus said, he answered, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now here's the cool thing. In his word, God will speak directly to your heart. He'll speak to your needs. And those troubles and concerns that come up in your life, you see, there's a deeper thing that's underneath those because underneath all of the worries and concerns that hit you every day, there's the deeper concerns about, does life really matter? Do I matter to God? Is this thing heading somewhere? Does he have a purpose for it all? And the Bible helps to speak into my heart and satisfies the deepest needs and concerns that I have to say, yep, you're going to be okay because he loves you and he's with you and he's helping. You're never going to do this on your own, ever. This week, Pastor Kevin came in and he kind of tweaked his back and he said, man, I can just kind of hardly move. And he went to one of the chiropractors in our church and he said, man, he gave me this deep muscle massage that happened. And he says, wow. He said, you know, it didn't feel good at the time, but man, I'm at least able to kind of moving around. And that's what the Bible is. God will do a deep, deep massage of your heart as you listen to him. Look at Jeremiah 15:16. Your words are what sustain me. They're food to my hungry soul. They bring joy to my sorrowing heart and delight me. How proud I am to bear your name, O Lord. See, this is why a great preacher, Charles Spurgeon, once said, you know, visit many good books, but live in this book. Because it'll speak to the needs of your heart. What it does, number five, it fortifies my values and convictions. Now, every now and then on my computer, sometimes on my smartphone, it has to upgrade drivers. And you know, it will function better because I upgrade and get the latest operating system or upgrades to the software. It's upgrading drivers. And what God wants to do is upgrade the drivers in our heart by helping us to get his word deep, deep down into our hearts. And I was thinking about this picture, you know, that we've just read of eating the word of God. And this is why, you know, the most important part of eating is actually swallowing the food and getting it into you because that's where your body digests it and gets all the nutrient values out of it. And some people, they hear God's word, like James says, but they don't do it. They don't let it get into them. And Jesus is saying, no, you want to let it get into you. I was reminded of my grandson Parker. He's a year and a half old, and he only has a few teeth, and so he doesn't have molars. And you know, when he's feeding, sometimes he'll be, you know, chewing with his gums, and you know, we'll give him something for the first time, he'll chew it, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, and out it all comes. You know, it's like, nah, I'm not going to swallow that. And God says, but you got to swallow this, because you got to get this deep. Isaiah 7:9 says, because if you don't stand firm in your faith and your values and your convictions, my friend, help you do that. So you're not going to be able to stand at all. See, there's the noise of competing versions of you to try to get you to be pushed and pulled and moved, and you need some way of deciding, this is the side I'm on. This is how I'm going to live. I've used an analogy here before, you know, of a circus rider who's on the backs of two horses, and he's got a foot on one horse on its back, and he's got a foot on the back of the other, and the two are kind of running, and that works fine until as long as those horses are running in parallel with each other. But if all of a sudden they decide to diverge, that guy's got to decide which horse he's going to get on, right? And sometimes you and I are living our life, and it's easy to follow Christ, and in our culture, there's no problem. You know, we're cruising along just fine, but every now and then, you're going to get to a spot where the culture's going to go this way. And Christ is saying, no, I want you to stay on this path. And you got to decide which horse you're going to be on, my friend. And spending time with God, if I could put it this way, it helps me to decide what I'm willing to be intimidated away from and what I'm not. Number 6, it focuses my spiritual energies. It keeps me focused with my priorities and pursuits to bring the best energies to bear to do what I need to do. This is one of the reasons I love what James says about looking intently into the word and continuing to do it and practicing it. He said the one who won't do that, he's like a person who looks into a mirror and then forgets what he looks like and walks away. Now, mirrors are there for your improvement, are they not? They're there to help you in the morning see what you really look like so that you can put yourself together in a way. Some of you spent time in front of one this morning before you came here, or at least you should have. And can you imagine looking in the mirror and you're all disheveled looking and stuff, and you walk away and you forget how bad you look, and so you just go on out for the day looking that way? You know, if I can let you in on a little secret here. I'm in the midst of a dental procedure that's going on, and for the last few months I've had to wear this retainer in my mouth. That's why some of you have noticed my speech has been affected by that a little bit. And if I don't have it, I'm missing a tooth right in front, and I mean, I look like, you know the TV show Hee Haw? Do you remember the Culhanes? I mean, they had teeth missing and stuff, and that's what I look like. And one morning, a couple months ago, I was getting ready to head out to a funeral, you know, and I was getting cleaned up last minute, and I looked in the mirror and thought, oh, I got to remember to put that back in. And I'm halfway to the funeral, and suddenly I look in the rearview mirror, and I, for some reason, smiled, and I'm looking, oh, holy mackerel, I'm the Culhanes. And I had to turn around and go back home. I mean, I was late to a funeral. And just had to tell them, you know, here's why. You guys wouldn't have taken a word seriously I said. I'm thinking, okay, can I just talk like this, you know, and sound like Sean Connery in the things that I'm saying, you know. And let the mirror help you, my friend. Be at your best. Psalm 37, be delighted with the Lord. Then he'll give you all your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him to help you do it. And he will. This is what James means when he says the person who has this kind of life, he's going to be blessed. Because, finally, it fulfills my reason for living. See, friend, you were made for God. He made you for himself. That's why Jesus said the greatest thing you can do is love him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. You're going to be fulfilling your reason for living. Now, can I say, friend, this book is for you. God gave this book for you. He didn't give this book for Bible scholars. He didn't give it to give preachers. ammunition to use in messages. He gave it for you so that he from his heart could speak to your heart and meet the deepest needs that are there. William Parker McKay was a famous surgeon in Scotland years ago. And as a young man, age 17, headed off to college. His mother was a devout Christian. She was concerned about her son going out to the big world and heading off to college. So she decided when he left for college, she gave him a small Bible and encouraged him to read it. In the fly leaf, she wrote his name and then wrote her name underneath it and actually wrote a Bible verse that she was praying for him and said, "Son, please read this book. It's going to help you with your life." Well, he went off to college. Last thing he had in mind was reading the Bible. Graduated college, went on to a university, medical school, became a renowned doctor in Scotland, in Edinburgh. But what's interesting is he departed from the faith that he grew up in. He actually became an atheist, became the president of a society of atheists in Edinburgh. One day he was treating a man who was hurt in an accident. And as he was treating him, he realized, this man, we're not going to be able to help him. And sadly had to tell the man, "You're not going to be able to recover from this. You're going to die." And the man said, "Well then, would you please send for my landlady and have her bring the book to me?" One of the things I should tell you is McKay at one point thought so little of the Bible, he actually went and pawned his Bible at a pawn shop when he was out on a drinking bender with his friends in order to get a few bucks to buy some whiskey with. So he'd pawned. And you're already putting together what happened, aren't you? The landlady brings this book for this man who's dying, and he holds it to his chest. And within about an hour, hour and a half, he died. And McKay was curious, "What's that book? Is it his bank book? Is it a journal that his will is in?" And he picked it up, and when he looked at it, it looked familiar. He opened it up, and lo and behold, on the fly leaf, he saw his name written and that of his mother. And he took it, went off to his office, sat down for about an hour and a half. He started leafing through it. He started reading verses that he could tell she had underlined, same color ink, hoping that he would read them someday. And after about an hour and a half, tears began to fall. And W.P. McKay got on his knees and gave his heart to Christ. He ended up leaving his career as a physician. He became a minister and a hymn writer. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily the path that you're going to be on, but I want to tell you what, friends. This book has the power to change your heart and your life, because it has a message you will not find anywhere else. There's no chemical you can ingest. There's no counselor you can visit. There's no experience in life you can have that'll give you what it is to have the God of the universe speaking to you every day from his heart to yours. Is that worth taking on in 2020? Bow with me. Lord, would you please help us to be people who are not just hearers, but we're doers. We're willing to act on what we've heard. Thank you for reminding us this morning of these truths. God, I thank you that you love us so much you sent Christ into the world to come and take all of our sin on himself, so that the good news of what he did in his death and resurrection could transform and change us, give us hope, could lift us out of the mess that we're in and get us into the kind of life you've had in mind that we live. And you show us exactly how to do it step by step as we trust you. So Lord, in this moment, I'm praying for change to happen in hearts and lives. For some to open their lives to Jesus for the first time. And for some who've known him a long time, to just say, "Jesus, I just got to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength." And I'm praying for some people, Lord, to make a decision right now to get into this book, the whole thing. Help them to do it. I pray these things in your powerful saving name.